We sail the river, doing our best to ignore Christus and his centaurs, who watch our every move as if we might jump ship. At last, Gorgon takes the familiar turn toward the home of the forest folk. A veil of shimmering water hides their island from view. The boat parts the curtain of it, and we pass through a fresh, cool mist that coats our skin with jeweled flecks, turning us into golden girls. The haze lifts. The verdant shore of the forest folk slides into view, a thick green as inviting as a feather bed. As our massive ship anchors, several of the forest children stop their game and step forward to gape at the terrible wonder that is the Gorgon. Gorgon is not charmed by their staring. She turns toward them and lets the snakes about her head stretch and hiss, their forked tongues quick whips of red among all the green. The children yelp and run for the cover of the trees. "That wasn't very kind of you," I scold. I'm still angry that she's betrayed our presence to Philon.
"Miscreants," Gorgon says in her slithery voice. "No better than toads."
"They're only children."
"I am unbothered by the maternal instinct," she purrs.
With that, the snakes settle into rest. The Gorgon closes her eyes and speaks no more. The floating lights that live in the forest beckon for us to follow. They lead us through tall trees that smell of Christmas morning. The spiciness makes my nose run. At last, we reach the thatched roof huts of the village. A woman the colour of twilight plods past, carrying buckets of glistening rainbow-hued water. She catches my eye, and quick as you please, she changes in appearance till I am staring at my own reflection.
"Gemma!"
Anne cries.
"How did you do that?"
I ask. It is odd to have two of me. She smiles, my smile on another face, and transforms once more, becoming an exact replica of Felicity, with the same full mouth and pale blonde hair. Felicity is not amused. She picks up a rock and palms it.
"Stop that this instant, or you'll be sorry."
The woman slides into her twilight self. With a sharp cackle, she hoists her glistening pails and walks away. Philon greets us at the edge of the village. The creature is neither man nor woman, but something in between, with a long, lean body and skin of dusky purple. Today, Philon wears a coat of fat spring leaves. Their deep hue brings out the green in its wide, almond-shaped eyes.
"So you've come at last, priestess. I had begun to think you'd forgotten us."
"I hadn't forgotten," I mumble.
"I am glad to hear it, for we would hate to think you'd prove no kinder to us than the Order priestesses who came before you,"
Philon says, exchanging glances with Christus. "I've come," I say.
"Let's not tarry here exchanging pleasantries,"
Christus snarls. We follow Philon's willowy, graceful form into the low thatched roof hut where we first met. It is as I remember it. Sumptuous pallets sit on a floor made of golden straw. The room holds four more centaurs and a half dozen forest folk. I do not see Asher or any of the untouchables, but perhaps they are on their way. I take a seat on one of the pallets. "There was a woman who transformed into me before my eyes. How could she do that?"
"Ah, Neela."
Philon pours a red liquid into a silver chalice.
"She is a shapeshifter."
"Shapeshifter?" Anne repeats. She's having difficulty balancing on the pallet. She topples into me twice before finding a level spot in the middle.
"We had the ability to change into other forms. It served us well in your world. We could become any mortal's fantasy. Sometimes the mortals chose to follow us into this world to become our playthings. It did not sit well with the Order and the Rakshana."
Philon tells the tale with no apparent regret or remorse whatsoever.
"You stole mortals from our world," I say, horrified.
Philon sips from the chalice.
"The mortals had a choice. They chose to come with us."
"You enchanted them."
A smirk pulls at the corners of Philon's thin lips.
"They chose to be enchanted."
Philon has been our ally, but I find this knowledge disturbing, and I wonder just whom I've made promises to.
"That power died out in many of us from lack of use, but it has remained in some, such as Neela."